Today's lesson is the low point, Peter's denial. The low point, Peter's denial. We're going to look at the situation in which Peter, knowing Jesus Christ, as he was going through his illegal trial while Peter was outside the actual court proceeding and he denied knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we all know the story, Jesus told him that before the cock would crow, the rooster would crow three times, he would deny the Lord Jesus Christ three times, and Peter would deny him three times before the cock crowed. And so we're going to look at a couple of passages. All of the Gospels point to this particular story, all four Gospels. Let us open in prayer. Merciful, gracious Father, we love you, we thank you. We ask at this time that you would break open your word to us that we may hear it and understand it and put it into shoe leather, that we can learn the lessons of Peter's low point and his denial of knowing his Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is John chapter 18. I think this is probably the one that is the easiest on Peter's issue. And it does have a very good telling of it, the way that John, the Apostle John, tells it. So we're in John chapter 18. We'll refer to some other passages in the Gospels, but we're going to particularly look at John chapter 18, starting at verse 15. So if you have your Bibles and you want to open it up, we're at John chapter 18 and verse 15. Now, the denial of Jesus is the very opposite way that he is portrayed in the Gospels in other events. He is the first one to recognize Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. He was the first to get out the boat, the only one to get out the boat because of his faith in Jesus. But today, even after he had taken the sword to Malchus' ear, we find that Peter is going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ as he's going through his phony trial. John chapter 18, verse 15 starts. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. So let's set this up. This is after Jesus has been arrested, and the Bible tells us that the other disciples, they fled. You look in Mark, it'll tell you they just fled. But Peter and John followed along. Not close behind, I'm sure, but especially Peter. But they followed along, following Jesus as they went into the court of the high priest. And it says that since that disciple was known to the high priest, this we know is John, the Apostle John. He refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loved, and he says that disciple quite a bit. So he's writing in the third person, but this is the Apostle John following Jesus along with Peter. We don't know how he has known the high priest, but it says that since that disciple, meaning John, was known to the high priest, so there was some acquaintance. So when he gets to the court and there's the young lady who is at the door letting people in, he's recognized, and you know, someone might say, yeah, come on in. Yeah, I know you. That's how it was in that particular situation. Now, Peter was with him, but we don't know if Peter did not want to go in or that he was denied entrance. But it says in verse 16, But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. Now, Peter did not go to the area that John was in. He was in the, you might call it, the outer court. And so that's where Peter was at this point. I'm sure he could hear, but he didn't want to be in the same general area either way. So here we find the first denial of Jesus by Peter in verse 17. It says, the servant girl at the door said to Peter, you also are not one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, oh, I'm not. Just as calm. I am not. Now, this is interesting because earlier, from the time that they had the Last Supper and on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter had fought for Jesus with his sword, cutting off Malchus's ear. Previous to that, Peter said, I will never deny you. He said, I will never. And Jesus told him point blank, yeah, you are. Peter said, up and down, I will die for you. Even if I have to die for you and with you, I will never deny you. And he then basically said, not like these other guys. I'm better than they are. I certainly won't do it. Boy, did he put his foot in his mouth. For in verse 17, he says very calmly, I am not. Although Peter denied being associated with Jesus, John himself, now he went ahead and he showed no concern about the people in the court area regarding his discipleship. And verse 18 says, now the servants and the officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. Remember, he's in the outer court. And they were standing and warming themselves in verse 18. And Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. Peter appears to be a coward, if you want to look at it from that standpoint. Meanwhile, Jesus is being questioned by Annas. And the high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Now, in the Jewish tradition, it was illegal to have this trial because it was a trial against Jesus' death. He was on the death penalty. You could not have a trial that lasted one day. It had to last for more than one day. It couldn't happen at the time of night that or morning, whichever one it was. It couldn't be during that time. And you could not ask the accused questions. You had to ask witnesses what they knew. And Jesus knew that. He knew that this was an illegal trial. In verses 20 and 21, after the high priest is questioning him about his disciples and his teaching, Jesus answers him and says, I have spoken openly to the world, which he did. I've always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews came together. I said nothing in secret. Remember, he came to share the gospel, the good news. You remember John the Baptist, he prepared the way for him to come and tell that good news. He says, why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them, and they know what I said. Now, that's the right way to do that. You don't question the accused. You ask the witnesses, what did the accused say or do? Jesus was trying to do it the right way in this illegal trial. And then he was beaten upside the head, we perhaps, it says in verse 22, when he said these things, one of the officers standing by struck our Lord, our Savior Jesus, with his hand, saying, is that how you answer the high priest? Not understanding who he was talking to. Jesus answered him, if what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me? Oh, my goodness. You know, God is all about justice. God is all about justice. And you and I have rights in this country that many people don't have in other countries. So we need to recognize that we have these rights and use those rights to try and get justice for us, not necessarily taking by violence to try and get our rights, but we should try and get our rights the proper way. So Ananias is unlawfully questioning Jesus. He's allowed the others to violate the law by striking him. This is not right. It's a illegal trial. It's abusive. And they're not doing any kind of legal process here. It was purely political. It was not legal. Isaiah 50 and verse 6 says, I gave my cheeks to blows. Look at Micah chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Oh my goodness, is Jesus not fulfilling the scriptures here? So now we have Jesus being taken to Caiaphas. And so Ananias in verse 24 sent Jesus bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Still another reason that this trial was not held at night is because it was held at night, it's illegal. And again, this is because it's the death penalty. Again, I say it's not on the, you can't have it on the same day. So now we are facing the second denial of Peter. Look at verse 25. It says, now Peter, Simon Peter, was standing and warming himself. They said to him, you also are not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. Remember now, a few hours later, Peter said he would die for Jesus. Yet for the second time, he denies knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, it was to the servant girl at first. That's one person. And you might say, well, that was a lowly servant girl. What does she know? She don't account to whole much. But this time it says, so they said to him, so now, remember, he's with a lot of other people. And now he's denied to more than just a servant girl, but to several people. And then we have the third denial in the 26th and the 27th verses of Matthew, John chapter 18, rather. So here's what the third denial was like. Says, one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off. Did I not see you in the garden with him? Remember, this guy was kin to the guy who had his ear whacked off by Peter. Didn't I see you in the garden with him? Verse 27, knowing he was there, Peter again did not. And at once, a rooster crowed. Now, you'll find in other places, it says that he cursed. This was the third question that Peter was asked. And in John 3:38, Jesus had said to Peter, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. In the book of Luke, chapter 22, it says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. So this was already told by Christ to Peter that he would do this. So if you go to Luke and looking at chapter 22, what we see is that Satan has approached the Lord Jesus Christ about Peter. Why Peter? Well, it was apparent in the 3 years that Jesus was having his ministry with these apostles, these disciples, that Peter was the leader of the bunch. Now, I'm just a peon. So Satan doesn't come after me. I'm sure he sticks with people like Billy Graham and those kind of guys. I'm just a peon. So I doubt that Satan ever comes against me. He just sends me his imps every now and then. But when the devil is out to get you, just like he was out to get Paul and out to get Job after God was bragging on his faith, God does allow Satan to give us difficulty. He does do that. But he does it for a purpose of testing us, not that he wants us to be treated badly per se, but he wants to test us, often in our area of faith. Both Job and Peter were tested in their faith. Job did not give up his faith. He had a few words to say of God, but his faith did not fail him. Oh, but in this case, he failed. What does the Bible tell us in 1 Peter chapter 5? Says that the verse 8, that to be alert and of a sober mind, your enemy, he's not a frenemy, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. And on that night, after Satan was given permission to sift Peter like wheat, this roaring lion came to devour Peter that night, to destroy his faith. Now, Peter's weakness in this area is because he was fearful and afraid, and his faith was weak. Peter had a lot of confidence in his faith, but often consequence of his failure is because his faith was more in himself than in his Lord. How many times did we see Peter step up and when Jesus said that he was going to die for their sins, he's going to go to the cross, and Peter came up and said, "No, you're not. Let me holler at you, Jesus." And he pulled him to his side. "You can't be talking like that, Lord." And Jesus had to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." See, Satan was already dealing with Peter at that time. And because Peter, his overconfidence in his own self undercut his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him and him alone. And that resulted in when his legs got knocked out from under him, starting when he cut the man's ear off and Jesus had to rebuke him, to the place where he is now. He has been overcome by this situation, and his faith and his fear led him to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. It was weakness and fear. We can't joke with Peter, because don't we do the same thing every now and then? The good news is that after Peter was restored, we see here in 1 Peter 5:8, just as he was restored by the Lord Jesus Christ, he's given us some hope and some help by helping us to figure out how to not fail as he did there in the outer court. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be alert, be of sober mind." Didn't Jesus warn him before he did that back in the garden? He said to his friends who kept falling asleep, and he told them, "You need to watch and to pray, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." You see, there's going to be some temptation that's going to come your way. You need to watch and to pray so that you have the opportunity to turn away from the temptations that Peter faced here to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that there are some wonderful lessons that we can learn from this denial, because as we read on, as Jesus was being taken away after that third denial and the rooster crowed, Peter and Jesus, their eyes locked up, and Jesus looked at him. And it says in the scriptures that Peter sobbed, he cried because of what took place. He cried. He had turned away from Jesus, the same Jesus who said he would never do that. But today we see in the scriptures that Peter is strengthening the disciples as Jesus told him that he would. Luke chapter 22 and verse 32. Jesus said this to him, "And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." He's done that today in 1 Peter chapter 5. What can we learn from this passage? Well, we know that Ephesians tells us to put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And why do we need to do that? Passage from Ephesians 6 and verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forms of wickedness in the heavenly places." He says in Ephesians, Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God, and we are to use that shield of faith, and we also to have the sword of the Spirit. Because when Satan wants to sift us as wheat, that word sifting has to do with aggressive shaking of the grain of wheat to separate in an aggressive way, as the farmers would do it, to separate the wheat grain from its outer covering, the chaff, which has a much lighter weight to it than the wheat. And when you blow it all away, you're left with the wheat, and the chaff is tossed to the wind. That's what Satan wants to do to us. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But if we have to put on the whole armor of God, we have to lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have our shield of faith. We have to have our sword of the Spirit, that we may do what? It says in verse 11, so that you can stand, take on the devil and his schemes. Take on the devil and his schemes. Look at verse 11. Put on the, of Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Peter was not able to stand that night, but he is strengthening us and encouraging us every day. If we follow what he said in 1 Peter 5:8, and as we follow the instructions here in Ephesians chapter 6, that we may be able to stand whenever Satan wants to do us harm, to cause our faith to fail. I thank the Lord for how these stories of Peter are able to encourage us. I hope that you've been encouraged today, because somewhere down the road, when you least expect it, you may find yourself in a test and be like Peter. But if you can follow the examples that he's given us and as Paul has given us in Ephesians chapter 6, you may be able to stand